This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I promised this, so let's do it now. The NFL is amazing at this. We chatted about this yesterday. They didn't actually talk about the rule changes potentially. But when they sense there's momentum for something that's not the NFL, they'll just throw something out there to let everybody know, oh, by the way,
we're still here.
If we sneeze, you're going to cover it. Via Tom Pelissero, multiple teams suggested, as they do in advance of rules committee and league meetings and stuff, some ideas for changes, okay? So there are three big ones that I wanted to go through and kind of get reactions to real time here, all right, Tobes? First one, Eagles proposal. I automatically hate it, just for the record.
Naturally, yes.
It's actually a good one. Eagles, apply the current postseason overtime rules to regular season games.
Yes.
So, no matter what, both teams will possess the ball, and we use overtime to do it. So, I'm trying to figure out exactly what's different. It's because they've changed the rules so many times over the years. So, what's the biggest difference between regular season and postseason overtime?
It's just
on the spot here.
Touchdown, right? Like, if you score a touchdown, you still win.
And in the postseason, both teams possess the ball.
Yeah, no matter what.
No matter what?
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say on this is, can you please at least go back to 15 minutes in the overtime? Because if you end up like this, Danny, where both teams get it, so the Commanders are playing the Eagles, right? Commanders go down and score a touchdown. Philly gets a chance now. They go down and score a touchdown. Well, in a 10-minute period, if both teams have 4 or 5-minute drives, suddenly Washington is going to get the ball back with 30 seconds left. They got no time left. They just take a knee. They go... They settle for a tie. Can we go back to the 15 minutes? Give us a full allotment of time. But I agree. I think you need to allow both teams to have a chance at the ball. It shouldn't matter. The coin toss shouldn't decide it, because sometimes there's just a team rolling, and I understand that the hard guy's like, oh, well, you just stop them. Like, well, okay, I get your point. But I would like the go back to the 15 minutes and implement that. I think it makes a lot of sense.
And it's close to the thing that I've always wanted, that everybody always just say, wow, you can't do that. And nobody gives me a great reason. It's something about, like, injuries or guys are too tired or something. I don't know. I mean, it's...
But let's add an 18th game. I'm sure that'll be the problem.
Yeah,
that'll fix it.
But, the same people that say you can't do it my way want an 18th game. I've always believed it's the weirdest thing that nobody else seems to want to propose this or is interested in it. Just play football.
Yeah.
Just continue the game with an extra quarter. With no gimmick, with nothing different, and you just play. And there's a great chance it resolves itself. In the event that it doesn't, if you want to shorten that to 10 minutes, that's fine by me. Then we can do your sudden death or your college rule or whatever. Grant loves the college rule. He wants the ball at the 25 or the 20 or like the 7 or the 29 or I don't care, or whatever. And he wants to go back and forth and have records be meaningless. I don't want that. I think you just play football with no gimmicks. But one day we'll get close to that. So that's that rule. This rule right here is my favorite rule proposal, but it's not going to get the most attention. But I wanted to give it some due attention right now. The Lions submitted a proposal to eliminate automatic first downs for defensive holding and illegal contact. Yes. This rule to me has never, ever, ever made sense. Some rules, some things that happen, they go, well, it's an automatic first down. It doesn't matter if it's 3rd and 23. It doesn't matter if it's 4th and 40.
Yeah.
If somebody touches someone after 5 yards, by letter of the law, automatic first down. The point, back in the day when this rule was written, is there weren't that many big plays. It was, you know, someone would zip through the line and break a tackle and run, John Riggins and Super Bowl style. So the assumption was you'd get enough for a first down. Well, times have changed. why are we assuming somebody would have gotten 25 yards? Now, if it's third and seven, you're going to be incentivized to grab somebody rather than giving up that first down catch and make it third and two. I understand that. So what I would do along these lines, and I'll tag you in, is if you'd like to make them more significant penalties, if you want to make defensive holding 10 yards, fine by me. You want to make illegal contact 10 yards, fine by me. The automatic first down is insane to me. I understand there are plenty of penalties where it's not an automatic first down, where they go, yeah, if the yardage is good enough, you get the first down. If it's not, we still need to play some football. Assigning the offense the benefit of the doubt of 5, 10, 15, 20, in some cases 25 yards on a play, when those happen, what, once or twice a week?
Yeah.
Has always been insane to me. But the responses right away are, well, get ready for some purposeful holding. Okay. You know what I mean? Why isn't that an emergency to people that someone got a first down on a third and 20 because someone did something 5 yards?
I think you're right, though. If you make it a 10-yard penalty, maybe it's a little bit different and you don't get the automatic first down because, you know, immediately the reason that I think you have the rule, it's third and 25. I'm not in the good spot. I just immediately start grabbing guys, right? And I don't want to. If you do a 10-yard penalty, maybe you're less likely to do that. But remember, there was a couple years ago, they've since instituted something kind of disallowing this, and I forget exactly the letter of the law, but the Ravens did this, where it was a couple seconds left in the game, and this was an offense, but they took the snap, and then they just held everybody and ran the clock out.
Yep.
Like, clearly bending the rules a little bit, finding that gray area. You worry that, like, if someone's at the end of the game, there's like 20 seconds left and they're just trying to kill a little clock and all of a sudden just wrap up your receiver. I understand those sorts of things. So I think if you made it 10 yards to your point, you can get rid of some of that because 10 yards is nothing to slouch at. 5 yards I'll live with, whatever. But if I'm giving you 10 yards, chances are you're going to get your first down anyways. If it's third and seven, like you said, if you're third and 25, okay, well now it's a more manageable third and 15. So I think that makes some sense. I would be in favor of getting rid of it because there's too many ticky-tack things that result in automatic first downs that just seemingly affect games all too often.
And the big one, this is going to get all the media attention because people can't help themselves. The Packers took the bullet for all of us and said we should eliminate the tush push.
Yes, yes,
now, they
yes.
didn't do what I would do, okay, on this front, which is nobody can push a ball carrier when you're on offense. But this one was specific to the tush push. To prohibit an offensive player from pushing a teammate who was lined up directly behind the snapper and receives the snap immediately after the snap. So I don't know what immediately means. Like, if Jalen Hurts waits a 1/1000, then can you push him? If you had Zach Ertz takes the snap, or Logan Thomas did a couple years ago as a tight end, can you wait 2 seconds to do it or whatever? Anyway, to me, it's very simple. Nobody should be able to push a runner from behind on offense, and you got the whole thing solved. But that's the one that's going to get the most attention because it's Philadelphia, because they were successful, and people can't separate that success from the real arguments. It just sounds like, you know, Jimmy from South Jersey, you know, I'm going to be upset because they can't stop it. You know, you can't stop the vertically shove. So, you know, they're just jealous. They're haters, old idiots. So, whatever. I can easily do that. It's not a football play. It's annoying. It shouldn't be in the game at all. Quarterback sneaks are wildly effective, by the way.
Correct.
Quarterback sneaks are an 80-plus percent play over the last decade. So, this is better than that. But your quarterback sneak, it's not taking away the right to get a third and one. It's not taking away short yardage decision-making or the ability to get it. It's just the one way where it's frankly not a football play and everybody's lined up weird and doesn't look right is stupid. Get rid of it altogether.